Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
You are listening to the official podcast of PHP Architect. This is episode 2025.12.04, and I am your host, Eric Green Johnson. And with me, like a bad habit, as always, John Congdon.
We're back. Well, if you're listening to the audio podcast, it doesn't matter, but we're back live.
Go. But earlier. But again, if you listen to the audio podcast, it doesn't really matter. let's see. Each week we talk about PHP and web development, what's happening in the ecosystem, what's new in the tools, and what's it like to live and work as a developer.
Come on, you wrote this.
I know. Well, yeah, I wrote it. we also keep you updated on all things PHP Architect, our magazine, book, conference, and everything else we got going on, including swag. I gotta add swag back into that. We record every Thursday, like I said, typically around 3 p.m. Pacific time, and we're happy to see you. Whoa, where's the rest of my stuff?
What happened?
I made changes, John. I made changes, and I'm not liking them anymore. Okay, I'm not done. This podcast is made better thanks to our partners over at PHP Score. Every project carries technical debt, and too much of it can cost your company. What is going on with me? Cost your company.
Wake up. Dearly. It's early. It's early. You need to just wake up a little
Start
bit, shake it off.
Your tech debt today for free at phpscore.com. More on PHP Score a little later. If you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, we'd love to have you join us live sometime. See, again, that's messed up.
Just head over to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/phparch.
Yeah.
And hit subscribe.
Yeah. Hit subscribe and do all the notifications and stuff. Yeah. And why do you want to do that? I've given up on reading, man. I got to rewrite this. I redid it, and I'm not feeling this flow anymore. Why do you want to join us live? Because you can be part of our Discord channel at discord.phparch.com. Be part of the show. Watch me crash and burn in real time and make fun of me. And I think that's it.
That works. I'm frustrated with Restream. It used to be you had one folder and everything changed. Now, each little section, you have to change the folder of what you want to have. I mean, pros and cons to it, but...
Yeah, I didn't notice that. Yeah. John?
Eric?
I've come to a realization.
That you shouldn't be eating a candy while we're recording?
That's Don't tell me what to do! You're not my real dad! We did company evaluations this week, and obviously I'm not going to get into details.
Except for that one person. Can we talk about that one person?
Everybody was entirely too happy with the evaluations. We're too nice to people. We got to start busting ass a little bit more. I mean, we are just too goddamn nice. People shouldn't be this happy to work with us.
it was really good. You did an amazing job on all the reviews. The one I wrote, I got crap about. And I shouldn't have read it.
There's a lot more to that story we won't go into, but.
Thank you for sparing me that one.
It's so hard to do those. Like, we need to do them annually, and we're terrible at it. I think this is like the third or fourth time we've done annual reviews in our, you know, how many years of.
13 years of existence.
Yeah. But it's hard because. Everybody just does a great job. It's like, okay, I'm just going to start copying and pasting. Like, that's what I'll do. Like, next year, I'll just, like, shuffle everybody's reviews around a little bit and just copy and paste them. Because it's always the same thing. You know, everybody does a great job.
We do have a good team.
Why are we here at 2:43 now?
So, I had the realization that my son is competing in his first chess tournament tonight. It's an after school chess program where they just every Tuesday they sit around and play chess and they usually get two or three games in.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first year that another school has challenged us to a tournament.
Oh, a throwdown. I like it.
And luckily he got in because we got the email from his chess master, and it was basically first come, first serve, but he didn't really say that in the email. And I waited to talk to him, say, hey, do you want to do this? And then by the time we replied, we were too far off the list because there's only so many spots for it. He was bummed, but understood. And then like 2 days later, we got another email saying, hey, a few more spots open up, and then Nolan made that last spot. So.
Oh, so it's the younger of the two.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't. So my older did chess club while he was in school, but there was never a tournament between the schools. So it's just something new they're trying. And he is super excited about it. He came home from school today and jumped right on his tablet and was playing chess against some bots. He's like, I got to practice for my tournament tonight.
Just make sure, like, give him a razor blade to hide in the inside of his mouth so in case things get, like, too crazy. He's armed. You don't know how the school chess tournaments can turn out. God, I've got to stop drinking Red Bull before the show.
Tell my kid to put a razor blade in his mouth.
Hey, man, these are prison rules, baby. Prison rules.
So anyway, he has a chess tournament. I need to be there at 4 o'clock our time to help set up, volunteering to help
I can. A bunch of tables out. What's there to set up?
Exactly. Tables and chairs, but there's going to be 30 or 40 kids there. So just got to make sure it's all set up. So we record till about 3:30. Shortly after that, I will be heading out with my kid to go do that.
Excellent. Well, all the best of luck.
Excited for him. And it worked out perfect because when I first saw it was on a Thursday night, I was upset because I bowl on Thursday nights, except we happen to have this Thursday night off because the bowling center is closed.
Notice he didn't say he was upset because he podcasts Thursday night. No, no, it's bowl.
The nighttime part. We can move this. We shifted it just 30 minutes. It works.
We did shift a little bit. Yeah. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was pretty good. We had my wife's family over and great time. Drank a little bit, but it was good.
Cool.
Excellent. Yeah. How about yours?
That was good. We never do Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. The wife and now the kid works typically every Thanksgiving. So
really,
The kid has a new partner and their family does a big thing as well. So if they're not working, they're going to that because, you know, that typically works. But long story short, it was great. We had it on Sunday and had a great time. It was a good time.
Awesome.
Enjoyed it. It was fun. I mean, not fun. Okay. Fun was the wrong word. It was interesting because I worked. Yeah. I always work. I'm terrible. I feel like such a hypocrite doing the evaluation because there's a few people who I expressed concern about, work-life balance. Mm. I really should not be talking about that to anybody, I tell you. But yes, I actually worked on Thursday, and it was kind of cool, I guess, because our UK people worked because it's just Thursday for them. And so it was nice to be able to talk to them without a lot of distractions of things going on. It's funny because I told them, one of them, I think I knew who it was, but I won't call him out on the show. So our UK guys, if you're not aware, are the Mike and Chris, the two individuals who do PHP Alive and Kicking. So they're there. But I asked, I said, hey, I'm like, yeah, you know, tomorrow's Black Friday here. I assume do you guys have Black Friday? And Chris is like, yeah, we have Black Friday. It's like, it's just like a special like day, sale day, but you know, we have it. I'm like, oh, interesting. I'm like, do you know why they call it Black Friday? And he's like, I'm afraid to know. I'm like, it's not that. So if you're not in the U.S. or you don't know what Black Friday is, and you are here in the U.S., Black Friday is the day after Thanksgiving, and it's when a lot of retail stores, like they do like 20 to 30% of their yearly business on that one day, or historically that's how it used to be. I'm sure it's changed now that we have Cyber Monday and everything. But anyways, it's called Black Friday because that was when a lot of these stores would be able to go from in red, which is in debt, like running, you know, negative for the year, to in black, which means they're making money. So it's called Black Friday because that's when companies would start to make money.
It's black ink in on the books here.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're profitable for the year. That's the goal, right?
That's Chris called himself out. It was Chris. So, yeah.
There was, there was something I was just thinking about when it came. Oh, as we said, we talk about business. And this goes to anybody out there that wants to start consulting or running your own small business. Something Eric and I realized, because we're not very good business people this year, in doing our reviews, when you give raises, that money's coming out of your pocket. So ideally, your contracts increase as well. We're lucky enough that one of our clients gives us an annual pay raise, usually around the cost of living, which is inflation. And then all our other contracts, we've written as, here's your monthly amount, and we never put in there any sort of annual increase. So that's something for you to think about as potentially starting your own small business. In your contract, have something in there where you have that increase going on.
Yeah.
Because money just comes out of our pocket.
It's like, we got to be making more money. We're paying people more, John. Oh, no, that's not how it works.
Unfortunately, not this year.
It's what it is. And even that's a risk, right? Because we never, that bump from that one contract is never a guarantee. So, you know, we do ours based on, you know, what we would want to do. And
we actually, Eric and I had a spreadsheet going where we said, here's what people are making. Here's the cost of living, which currently is around 2.8% here in the US. And then a couple other columns of, you know, 3%, 4%. And then we actually put nice guy, 5%. We're like, we would like to be here if we can, if we can stretch ourselves a little bit.
So I feel like we've had this conversation before, but of course not everybody listens to all our shows all the time. And since, you know, PHP is our business model, like it's how we make money, I feel like I just want to ask you again. I think I know the answer already. If you had to do all over again, as far as starting your own company, as opposed to just being a sole consultant, would you?
As I've said in the past, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know if I've changed position. I love the business that we have working with you and the team, but at the same time, talking with other people in my kids' friends, parents and stuff. Could I have gone to another company, potentially been able to move up a ladder, making more money than I do now? Potentially. So there's that trade-off, money versus like building something. And I love the fact that we get to help provide income for so many people on our team. Yeah. Love that part. Selfishly, I feel like I could have made more money elsewhere.
Yeah. I don't think I could have made more money elsewhere, but I think I would have tried. But, you know, had it not been for you, I don't think I would have been successful. Because I've always, like, of the two of us, I'm typically the more aggressive person who wants to try things, who wants to spend money, who wants to kind of take a risk. And, you know, so many times those don't pan out. So I will say the one thing that wouldn't make me think that I wouldn't do it, knowing then what I know now, is kind of the same thing you said, where you love the fact that other people are able to make a living off of, you know, working with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that too, but I never anticipated the anxiety it would bring. Like I would rather not get paid than have to lay somebody off, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just so, like, especially when we start getting near the end of the year, it's like, oh man, you know, it's like, we got to do this for another year. And mm-hmm. yeah, I think that's the biggest thing I have. And a lot of that's just like, you know, we're just really good friends with everybody we work with. You don't, you know, ever want to have those hard conversations. And we've had those hard conversations in the past. And I mean, there had actually been moments in our existence where I've told John, look, just stop, you know, I'll not get paid for a few months. Let's keep this person on and let's see if we can turn it around. And John's just been like, absolutely not. We're not doing that. So, so yeah, it's always been, yeah, that's, yeah, I'm so proud of it. It's probably my, the thing I have the most pride in, but it also just weighs on me all the time. And I feel, I don't know how to get over that.
Yeah. But the one thing I was told prior to starting my own thing, my previous CEO at a company I worked at back in, you know, prior to moving out here, big thing he always says was, there's a big difference between needing the anxiety of an employee who needs to receive a paycheck versus mm-hmm. an employer who needs to make payroll, needs to have the money to mm-hmm. pay those people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. That part is stressful.
Yeah. That nizzle, we're up to 11 counting down tonight.
Yep.
And that's not even the most we've had. I think the most we've had was 12 or 13.
Right.
Before COVID.
Pre-COVID.
Really. Yeah. So yeah, we're slowly growing. We like to bring on, you know, more. We brought on two new people this past year, Chris and Joe, right? Because Brooke's been with us just over a year. I think we brought him on about this time last year.
Yep.
And yeah. So yeah, we're still plugging along.
Yep.
Any coding? You do any coding the past week?
My big thing the past couple of days has been fighting with Docker, trying to get FreeSwitch phone system running locally, because I'm so used to doing all of that coding on a remote EC2 server. And we've been talking about it for years. How can we bring it local and make it work? And I'm trying. I'm really trying hard. There are so many gotchas. The way I have it working in production currently in Docker is with host networking,
mm-hmm.
which you would think would be fine, except guess what? You can't just do that in Mac. It doesn't work.
Really?
So when you do host networking on Mac because of Docker Desktop, you're getting the IP address of the Linux VM, not your Mac system, which the whole point is I'm trying to avoid any sort of network address translation from the host. Mm-hmm. So I do some research and it's like, oh, instead of using Docker Desktop, use OrbStack.
OrbStack?
ORBSTACK, OrbStack. And I installed it. It migrated everything from Docker Desktop over. Now that's running all my containers. It's supposed to be lighter weight, faster, blah, blah, blah. But it's still not giving me what I need, at least as of this point. And I just tried this today.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going the host networking route, now I am researching, trying to make it work with NAT, which it should. It's just not as simple. So hopefully, you know, tomorrow I get that up and running. It would be awesome if we could make phone calls, you know, from our local machine, just for development purposes, make it easier.
Yeah.
Duck Nizzle, so far, I've been happy with OrbStack, but I mean, I've been literally using it for an hour. I don't see, it's not like there's any difference to me between Docker Desktop and OrbStack. I wouldn't know the difference. I'm running my Docker builds and compose just like I did with Docker Desktop. So,
yeah. Yeah, it looks like there's a free tier and then some paid tiers. I'm sure you get things that we don't need.
I didn't even look at it. I didn't even know that you had to pay for it. I just downloaded it and off I went.
Now that we're going through SOC 2 compliance, I'm happy to hear that. Like, you just don't care. You just download shit and run it. We're good.
SOC 2 compliance. What a pain in the
ass. Good God. Yeah. That's, yeah, yeah, yeah. We could talk for days on SOC 2. Let's not.
I mean, I'll give it this much. It's saving us money. Not as much as we spent to get SOC 2 compliant, but it's making us aware of, oh, crap, we've had a client that hasn't paid us in probably a year. We just wrote them off. You know, they're paying us very little to host their stuff. And they stopped paying. I stopped even thinking about them. Turns out we're still running their database and a web server. So we're paying out. We probably paid out more than they've paid us at this point. not really, but it's just crazy to think that, you know, we've got things running that we don't need. And
yeah.
we've both done it. You and I have machines that we've spun up and they're just kind of just going. And we look at it and we're like, this is a database server with literally nothing on it. Why is it running?
Yeah. Well, that's like just yesterday, Frank was having an issue with VPN. And so I go to DigitalOcean and I'm like, okay, where's the VPN server? Because Joe, our SysOps guy, did a bunch of stuff. Like VPN was always like really kind of dicey. And then Joe came in and did, it like must have cleared it up for everybody, because I heard no more complaints after that. Like everybody was just running just fine. But, you know, Frank was like, oh, yeah, I can't access VPN. Oh, this is even funnier than I thought. I forgot about why. But I go to DigitalOcean and we have two machines labeled DDVPN, Diego Dev VPN. I'm like, what the hell? And so, yeah, I'm trying to figure, I think one of them is, again, not being used, because the IP address I had and the IP address Frank had was to the other one. I'm like, I bet you I started to spin up another VPN server because everybody was having problems. We figured it out and got it running a little bit, and then I forgot to kill it. You know, I don't think I migrated anybody over to it. But do you know why Frank couldn't access the VPN server?
Because I killed the firewall?
Yeah.
I told you that.
Yeah, I looked at it. I'm like, why the hell is port 80 and 443 open? This is not a web server. Why is that open? And where the hell is OpenVPN? Am I running OpenVPN or port 80? What? And so I check it out and like, no, I wasn't. We just had closed the UDP port for VPN.
Yeah, because we can't have it wide open. For SOC 2 compliance, the only wide open ports you can have are 80 and 443.
Right.
So that's why I was pushing for using Tailscale instead of wide open SSH access. Yeah. A-Woods is asking why we care about SOC 2 compliance. We have a couple of clients that have SOC 2 compliance. It's something we've been thinking about for a long time. We don't probably really need it. It's more going through the process for now, learning more about it. Nice to have if we had a client that said they would only work with us if they're SOC 2 compliant. And our biggest client we think should be SOC 2 compliant because they do a lot of contracts and I think it would help them win contracts. So if we go through it and get SOC 2 certified and then talk to them about the process and get them to go through it, I think it will be a good thing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. I mean, that's typically when they do, I forget what they call it, but it's like a pitch, but like companies say, hey, this is what we want. And other companies submit like pitches to them.
Mm-hmm. An RFP.
Well, what is it?
RFP.
RFP. Yeah. When they do that, that's typically one of the questions that they're asking. Are you SOC 2 compliant?
Yeah. Always asking about different, security questions, and that is one of them. So,
yeah. Yep, it's always fun. Always fun.
And then Joe being a smartass, because we can't have port 80 open, just move SSH to port 80. Problem solved. Unless it's on a web server, and then you're screwed.
I don't want to hype it too much because obviously we've been trying to get them to, you know, sponsor tech for a while and be partners, but goddamn Tailscale, man, it's Yeah. I really like it. Like you said earlier today, like we might end up having to pay for this and see, but yeah, because, did you catch what Joe said earlier? Yeah. We have that asset server up now and he was like, yeah, we can shut that down 100% from the outside world and just run it over Tailscale IPs. So, cause that's how
even port 80, right?
Even port 80. Yeah. That's how I was earning my little internal stuff. So, yeah. All right. Speaking of sponsors, let's hear from our partner today, PHP Score.
Thank you to our partners at phpscore.com. Every app builds up technical debt over time. It's the price we pay for shipping new features and moving fast. When we build up too much of it, though, it can start to impact how we work. Team velocity suffers, bugs become more frequent and take longer to fix, and everyone starts to get a little frustrated. The key to managing debt is to measure it. A credit score can help you understand how well you're managing your financial debt, and now there's a credit score for your technical debt. Go to phpscore.com to get a free technical debt score and monitoring for all of your PHP applications today.
Thank you, PHP Score. Sure. Yeah. There you go. Hey, guess what?
What's up?
I'm the proud new owner of a Kindle.
Hey.
And you want to know why I'm a proud new owner of a Kindle?
Because you don't work hard enough and you have time to read?
No, because we suck at EPUBs for the magazine.
yeah.
Actually, we don't. I had somebody reach out to us saying that the EPUB wasn't working and he was getting errors. He's not using a Kindle. He's using a Google reader of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not talking to you. He said he was having the issue on Google and Kindle. So I downloaded it and it seems to be working fine. But by looking at it again, because I don't usually use the EPUB version myself, mm-hmm. I realized how we build the EPUB is not the same way we build the PDF. And we've run into issues in the past. If we've decided to pull an article from the magazine, so it's not in the PDF, it's not in a print issue. If it's in the directory, it still gets into the EPUB. So we've released articles early accidentally in the past. Found out none of our ads have been going into the EPUB. Probably shouldn't say that
really
out loud, but
yeah, damn.
Because they get added into InDesign, which is for all of our layout, but EPUB doesn't do layout. It just takes the markdown and just does it. So anything we change directly in InDesign never makes it back. So I've got things noodling in my head to fix that. No clue how, like my assumption is even prior to us taking over, it was the same way because everything I do, I learned from Oscar and that's how it was done.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and Kindle specifically, so PHP Architect before we started running it, PHP Architect used to have a Kindle specific version, that Mobi, right? That's mm-hmm. that was the Mobi one.
Yeah.
And Amazon, you know, basically squashed it and just started doing the EPUB on Kindle.
But it's the same thing. It was built, I think the Mobi was built from the EPUB, so same issue. It just,
yeah. Interesting.
So now I have more work to do figuring out how to get all that in there, but I wasn't having the same issues he was having. So it doesn't matter.
Speaking of the magazine, this month we start a new column called PHP Enterprise or Enterprise PHP.
Enterprise PHP. Yeah.
Yeah. Really excited about this one. So Wendell, in our Discord is the author of that one. And he feels like he has enough to do a regular column every month. And I'm excited. I really like that idea because it's, you know, it's, I think it's something we've been missing as far as like a certain group of professional developers who have unique things that they have to deal with because they work in an enterprise environment. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm really happy that we had somebody come on board to do that.
And staying on the magazine, Ed Bernard started a new column, LLM Patterns. And
oh, yeah.
it's a deep subject, and he's building up to it. So he started in November, and there's a lot of backstory. So you got to stick with it. I'm still going through it because he's asked specifically for feedback, and I want to give him the best feedback I can. So far, it's very fascinating. He starts off with how IBM had, what was it called? Basically a board where if there was any idea, they posted it so they could say, this is a posted idea that we have, so you can't patent it. And he says in there that he went to them with an idea, but he was only a contractor. But I guess because of his contract, he was obligated to inform them, and then they put it onto this board so he couldn't patent it. It's like very, very honest guy. It's awesome.
Speaking of, yeah, LLMs, right? That's what you said. TJ, my friend TJ, who's big in AI right now, right? Doing some crazy stuff. And he's been making these blog posts. I'm going to put them in the show notes. I've been debating whether or not I wanted to do that because I'm like, why don't you submit these to the magazine? God damn it. Yeah. He's doing some crazy stuff with what he's been doing with AI. And I'm not even going to get into it because like 90% of it is over my head. But I get the principle of what he's talking about, which is basically, and I didn't know this. I actually just learned it recently that I guess your AI agents or clients or whatever, like Cloud Code, right? You fire up Cloud Code and you have it help you with your code. And then when you're done, you know, you close your terminal or whatever. Well, the next time you fire up Cloud Code doesn't remember the conversations that you had previously had or the work right. previously do. So I guess that's what TJ's been working on, is just being able to have the AI remember your history. And
what the context that you had prior.
Right.
To yeah. shutting down.
Yeah. So this
I thought there was something. Super. I thought there was some sort of built-in way to kind of save your context, at least with Cloud Code. I don't know.
So I asked Cloud Code this last night, actually. And I think you were talking about Docker. Yeah, that was my coding thing. But yeah, I asked Cloud Code. I'm like, hey, because when I saw, you know, TJ's been sharing this with me. And I haven't been reposting it because I'm always kind of like, okay, that's, you know, I don't know, like, what I have permission to post or not. I shared this because it's just out there on the internet. So I assume he's okay with people seeing it. But I asked Cloud Code, I'm like, hey, when I end this session and start a new session, do you remember this conversation? And he's like, no. He's like it's a he. But it's like, no. And I'm like, well, how do I fix that? And Cloud responds, I'll write a file to, you know, of what we're talking about. And then the next time you start up, I'll go look for that file. And if that file is there, I'll read it real fast. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, do that. Like, do that all the time. Why aren't you doing that?
Yeah. So Chris says, you know, Cloud Code is the only one that does. And then Joe says, just use Cloud Export to yeah. save it out.
Yeah. So yeah, I did not realize that, and it's yeah, that's game changing for me to know that. So speaking of Docker, oh my goodness, and speaking of Joe, I'm gonna turn some people on Joe here real quick. I intentionally try not to be on the hook for deliverables that have a hard deadline, because I never know day after day how much time I'm going to have to develop. And I've been doing a pretty good job of it, like over the past year. But a POC requirement came up, a proof of concept, with a hard deadline of the end of this month. This happened the beginning of November. I'm like, I got 2 months. I'll definitely have time to do it, because it's just it's not even something I feel like we need to do a POC for. It's just an API endpoint for another system to talk to. I'm like, it's just an API endpoint. We can do it. Like, yes, if you want this contract, get it. We can do this. This is not rocket science. It's pretty easy. But I haven't been able to do it. Like, I haven't had the time. And this week, I'm like, okay, this week I'm 100% making the time. But then I came to the reality of I haven't fired up this Docker environment in probably 6 to 7 months now. And so I have to download the database, which is massive, and import the database. And then I'm trying to fire up the Docker container, and I'm having all sorts of issues. And Frank actually helped me through all that. And then I remembered, I'm like, God damn, I can't run Docker because I run Herd. I'm like, I wonder if I can configure Herd to run this code base. Because, you know, Herd has this capability. I'm told, in theory, it doesn't have to be a Laravel app. Herd has these drivers that you can create to run anything. And I'm like, man, this would be so nice. And it would only be nice because all the other stuff that I will jump into and do like quick coding on, like the conference website or PHP Tech TV or, you know, any of these like little side projects that I do is all in Herd. And instead of shutting that down, spinning up this Docker container, and don't tell me you can run the Docker container in other ports. I already know I can't. I mean, I can, but this app breaks. And that actually came up today as we're talking through this. So I'd really like to not have to shut down Herd just to spin this thing up to work on it. And so I made the mistake of asking Joe, seeing how he is our sysops person. I'm like, hey, Joe, I'm like, can you look at custom drivers for Herd and see if you can figure out one for this project? Joe does not like Herd. Joe does not like Herd even a little bit. Now, to his defense, Joe is the maintainer of, was it Homestead? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Joe's the maintainer of Homestead, which was the de facto solution for Laravel and everybody else for the longest time. And so I think he's a little bitter about that. Yeah. Joe continues to remind me he does not like Herd.
So why did you need the custom driver? I'm still confused on that.
Because, well, you know the project I'm talking about?
I do.
It's the one with the Laravel app living inside of legacy code.
There you go.
So that...
You actually had to fire up that legacy code base.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, yes, OFFS Lando, 100%. I thought I would never not use Lando. And then John's like, hey, I'm getting a license for her. Do you want one? I'm like, no, man, I got my, sure, whatever. but this is the cool thing. If you guys aren't familiar with Lando and Herd, no, not Sale. Sales is not good. Lando and Herd, the biggest thing that they have is that they allow you to serve up all your websites through port 80 and port 443. So all the projects you're working on, now they do it differently. Herd, it watches certain directories, like you tell it what directories to watch, and it will, anytime you create a project in there, it'll just assume it's a Herd site and, you know, allow you to access it. Where Lando, your directories can be anywhere. You just have to spin up Docker containers for each project, which gets annoying after a while as well. So, but they each, that's the coolest thing about it is you can have all your projects and you have a naming convention that allows you to access it through a browser, and everything serves up on 80 and 443. So nice to have.
It basically acts like a proxy to the proper port in Lando, mm-hmm. right? So right. Lando manages your ports versus having a bunch of port collisions on port 80.
Right. So yeah, that's the other thing with Lando. You can actually address the Lando directly. If you know you can find the port by saying Lando info. I mean, it doesn't make it difficult to find the port, but yeah, to your point. Yeah. Every Docker container has a bunch of random ports assigned to it. And then it does a magic proxy or whatever it's called to proxy all of them through. So really nice. I think Lando is hands down one of the coolest things. And in the benefit to Lando, Herd works for us because we're on Mac now. If I was still on my Linux machine, it wouldn't. I don't know if Herd is on Windows. Herd might be on Windows, actually. I don't know one way or the other. But Lando can run on anything because it's just Docker. It's Docker everywhere. So Lando's a fantastic solution for free. I mean, I don't know. That's one of those things, like, how's this free sort of thing. Yep.
So did he get Kevin running is a question.
Yeah.
You said he doesn't. Okay. You said he doesn't.
Oh no, no, no. I didn't get the Herd one running. I'm still doing the Docker. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to ever see Herd running. All right. I'm going to call you out. I'm going to make you feel bad.
Awesome. Cause I like feeling bad.
It's what I do. We're going to promote another podcast here. John was on another podcast called
Teach the Geek.
Yeah. Which is basically, yeah, just how to do presentations and stuff. And John was talking about, you know, the conference and submitting papers and stuff like that. Interesting. Neil's an interesting character, man. I'm not sure he was with you the whole podcast, by the way. He looked like he zoned in and out a few times, but yeah.
That's because I was rambling. I just kept talking. I don't know how to do podcasts.
That's what you're supposed to do. Like when you're the host and you're doing the interview podcast, you're just hoping that the interviewee is a rambler. Because otherwise you're having to fill all the space. And
to a point. You don't want rambling just on and on. You want them to answer questions fully, but not to go too long.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't get enough of John in this podcast, go check out Teach the Geek and watch John not mention me. Calls Ben Ramsey by name before he even mentions my name. Just the first part of the name. I don't even get a whole name. I don't get Ben Ramsey. I don't get Eric Van Johnson. I just get Eric. Like, it was a very disappointing Eric too, but yeah. I did not. I'm gonna use that one for a very long time.
I don't see you going on any podcast trying to promote PHP Tech, bastard.
I will be on a podcast soon. Scott just reached out to me and says, "Hey, are you free to do a podcast? Talk about tech?" I'm like, yeah, let's shoot.
For so you're going to do another podcast on our
platform? On ours, yeah. for the same reason we started the company, the only person who would pay me to code is me. So the only person who's going to have me on a podcast is me. 100%.
Oh, funny. Hey, if you're looking for a job, PHP Foundation is hiring.
What?
They are seeking a new executive director.
Executive director. What does an executive director for a nonprofit PHP foundation do? I'm curious.
I don't know exactly, other than the executive director of any nonprofit is to make sure the nonprofit is going in the right direction, spearheads any efforts that need to be accomplished. Make sure the proper people are working on their respective roles. Within the PHP Foundation specifically, they have employees. So they make sure the employees are getting the stuff that needs to get done, have some sort of roadmap and goal for the people that are working on internals, that are being paid to work on internals, and also help grow the foundation. You know, spearhead fundraising efforts, make sure there's money coming in.
Are we gonna have a PHP car wash soon? Is that what's gonna happen? That's how we raised money when I was in Little League. Yeah, looking at
I was thinking a bake sale.
Strong leadership, deep knowledge of PHP, excellent project management, strategic thinking, experience working with diverse stockholders. Yeah, I got none of this, but you know. Yeah,
you're screwed. You're not getting
it. Yeah, I'm not. I probably shouldn't apply.
Yep. Yeah. Me either.
Oh, this is cool. It's so weird to see. So again, this is not officially PHP.net, right? I mean, this is a foundation that helps that, but it's still basically PHP, right? It's the internals of PHP. It's so crazy to see that. I mean, it's a good thing. I think this is something
awesome. Yeah.
I feel like this is something that needs to be put in more marketing material for PHP in general. Like all these companies that don't do open source, or, you know, especially something like PHP that doesn't have direction, that doesn't have somebody guiding like where it goes. This sort of thing needs to be a regular. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is cool. Good work, yeah. PHP Foundation. Exciting.
Yeah, I think what they said in here is Roman Pronsky, who kind of got it started, he works at JetBrains.
He started on JetBrains.
They want to bring in somebody that I don't know if he has executive director experience. I don't know why his tenure isn't concluding, or if maybe it's in their bylaws where an executive director is only around for so many years. I don't know. I guess he's stepping down sometime next year, and they're looking to replace him.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Says right there, as his role at JetBrains grows, he's decided to focus his effort there. So he's got plenty going on in his life.
Thing I'm confused about, because I thought he had stepped away from JetBrains, but I guess not. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I am going to talk about JetBrains because I'm going to give them a hard time. Not because they say we're too small to sponsor. I'm not going to bring that up, John. That's just going to be between you and me. That's just like conversation we had. But let's start with this one. Oh, PHP plugins you might not know. You know what? I'll put this in the show notes. AI must have generated this one. Like, I don't understand half of these and why they think they're important. And none of them are. Like, there's so many good plugins that the fact that they settled on these is like, all right, that's a weird one to bring. Tempest PHP? What? Like, that's the plugin you want to talk about?
An upcoming new framework?
Yeah.
No.
So I didn't mean to bring this one. The one I meant to talk about, which is something I did not actually know.
I was actually excited about that one, the plugins. I thought it was going to be awesome, and it wasn't.
Yeah, so that's why it ended up on the board. And then I actually read it. I'm like, this is, okay, why did I put this on the board? Open source IntelliJ IDEA, right? Did you know IntelliJ, IntelliJ IDE had an open source version?
No.
No, you didn't. I didn't know that either. And I assume, like, you can download it and build it and, yeah, build your own IDE. And this is crazy. Like, this is... If we always say, if you make money off PHP, invest in PHP Storm, it's worth it. If you don't make money off PHP and you've been grinding away with VS Code if you're using Vim, you're fine. Don't worry about it. But if you do want to kind of dip your toes into what a powerful IDE is like, this might be your direction. You might want to try this. I haven't done that. Obviously, we have. Licenses for all JetBrains products, actually. Right. But yeah, I'm going to put this in the show notes for those people out there who might not have it and find this useful.
You're going to be missing a lot of the PHP sugar that PHP Storm has, I assume, the IDE.
Right. But maybe that's intentional, John. Here's where I'm going to start giving JetBrains some shit. Ask us anything. During JetBrains AMA week on Reddit. So JetBrains are going to host a bunch of AMAs around all their different products, invite people to come in and ask questions. I'm like, that is pretty cool. I'm not sharing the right screen.
Right.
That is pretty cool. I might actually pop on to the PHP Storm one and ask a few questions. And so if you scroll down, you see the dates for all the, there's no PHP Storm. What the hell, JetBrains?
There is one for their open source one, though, IntelliJ IDEA.
Yeah.
Pop in there.
JetBrains? I'm going to hop into all of them and say, why is there a PHP Storm AMA? I'm just going to have a bot do it like every 15 minutes. Like, Ruby Mine? Really? Really? You know what your question's going to be? Who uses RubyMine? That's going to be the question in your AMA, JetBrains. Yeah.
It's going to be, who uses Ruby anymore?
Exactly. That's what we should do. We should have everybody just decide to join one of the AMAs and just start asking a bunch of PHP Storm questions. Oh, I'm a dick.
Or when they say, here's how you do this. How do you do it in PHP Storm, please?
Yeah. Oh. You know what?
What?
I'll share this real fast. I mean my beanie. You mean my beanie hat. Oh, this is not like a beanie. Like, look how tall that thing is. Like, for me, a beanie is like almost a skull cap. But
yeah.
That's there. Let's check this out. phptech.io. Because I think... Okay, so let's talk about PHP Tech for a minute. How are we on time? Oh, we're way over, right? 2:30.
I can stick around for another 5-10.
Okay. PHP Tech, John. We have speakers up, right? We're talking about speakers we're having. Does that mean we're going to... we still have Early Bird. Are we going to, like, wrap that up at some point?
We will be wrapping that up sometime.
Okay.
You and I need to discuss when. We need to work on the schedule is what we really need to start doing. We've got...
Need to work on the schedules.
Oh, Carlos finally confirmed. That means we're down to, I think, one that hasn't confirmed. Or Carlos only confirmed one of two, maybe.
And we have another keynote conversation this week or next week. Potential keynote speaker.
We have another one. What? Did we miss that?
Oh, God. Don't tell me we missed it. I feel like we did, too. I feel like it might have been earlier.
It's next week. Next Tuesday.
Oh, next Tuesday. Okay. Yeah. I missed a meeting this morning. Felt so bad.
Did you?
Yeah, 100%. And I'm so frustrated with myself because my notifications kept going off that, you know, I had something on my calendar. And I had, so there was a time in Todoist to, if you synced it with your calendar, it would just create entries in your calendar. And so I had a recurring entry to do things like look at Zendesk. You know, there's like three things I had.
That obviously like stopped working.
Well, no. It did. Oh, yeah. That was a dig, huh? Okay. Yeah, I get you. I see what you did there.
I'll talk about that after this.
But at one point I decided, okay, I'm going to take all these off because I don't need them anymore. I have them on my calendar. And to do this does calendar integration a little differently. I don't know if I like it or not, but it does. And so I took them all off my to-do list. And then when my to-do list started firing this morning, it started firing at 9 a.m. or approaching 9 a.m. And that's typically when, you know, I would send myself reminders to do stuff. So I kept clearing. I'm like, and I even told Beck, my wife, I'm like, damn, calendar won't stop chiming. And I just kept turning it off. And then I come to sit down, you know, in my office, and I'm seeing all these Slack messages. I'm like, oh, damn it. What's going on here? And I look, and I missed a meeting with our client who was talking to a customer. But it ended up being, we had somebody there, Kaylin, who also joined, who's probably going to be doing the work anyway. So it's, you know, better him than me anyways. But yeah, Kaylin joined, and it turns out he was like, because I tried to get on like 15 minutes late, and Kaylin's like, yeah, it was like a 10-minute meeting. I'm like, all right, cool. Excellent.
That sucks. Yeah, it's giving me a hard time around about Zendesk because I let it go for 2 weeks. Thanksgiving threw me off by a lot. And then I came back in this week and I'm like, holy crap, there's like tons of messages in here. Usually I try to get in there and clean out because there's a lot of spam and crap in there too. But started getting two really weird types of messages. One was, hey, I tried ordering the magazine and I ordered the magazine and I don't see it. Hey, I ordered a book and I don't see it. Hey, I ordered a magazine. I don't see it. I'm like, oh my God. I kept going through and I thought it was a one-off, I think last week where I fixed somebody's account and I started seeing all these come through and it was driving me nuts because I could go in, I could easily fix the account, but I like, why is this happening? So of course I go and I make a purchase and I don't get the magazine in my account. And I started digging through the code because it's code we inherited, so I don't fully understand how everything works. And it was frustrating me because it goes through a WordPress plugin and then talks to another backend service. And I get to the point where the Stripe checkout is completed and I see it make a call over to the other service to say, hey, is the status of this completed? And then I go look over in the service and it literally is just looking to see if it's completed. And I'm like, this isn't doing anything. Why? What is happening? And it turned out to be in Stripe, there is a webhook that goes to that other service to say, hey, this is complete, that I disabled because I have a webhook. Because we move subscriptions to Stripe, this webhook goes to another API, another server, another place. And I guess at some point, I assumed that one was no longer being used because we've moved all of Swag to Fourth Wall. So we're not selling that. Subscriptions all being handled by the other API. I forgot about the one-off magazine purchases and the books. That was a pain in the butt. Fixed. It's working now. Happy to say. The other weird one that we got probably 4 or 5 different people, if not more, saying, hey, I can't access my account. It's been disabled. My account's disabled. Can I enable it? Blah. And I'm like, we don't have that feature. Yeah. So I kept writing to them. I'm like, are you contacting the right company? We don't have a disabled state. I don't know what you're talking about. And finally, two different people replied. One said it was Hunger something, and the other one was some kitchen, both Canadian websites. I go to the one that they actually gave me a website for, and I'm like, I don't see our email address in here anywhere. I tried filling out their form. Like, is their form going to us somehow? Like, I still don't know why. I have no clue. All I know is I'm getting emailed about disabled accounts, and I'm sorry. I don't know how to enable your account. You're contacting the wrong company.
Oh, so it wasn't us. It wasn't us at all.
It's not us. I don't know how they're getting our information. Part of me is like, are they using Zendesk and Zendesk has something broken where email's supposed to be going into their account? It's coming to us. I still have no answers.
That's crazy. I mean, we have in the past, we have gotten like people emailing saying their PHP application broke or their WordPress isn't installing. I'm like, yeah, that's not us.
Right.
So, yeah, you just point them to the right place. But yeah, that's weird. I don't think we've ever had that where it's another company altogether.
Yeah. Very interesting. I started thinking we did have one of our clients that did something with food that we recently disabled, but
that's right. I forgot about that guy.
But I don't see how they would be related at all. And even if it were, how they would get our email address. So, alrighty.
All right. We should wrap this up. Speaking of clients, I just got one. Frank, if you're listening to the podcast, get back to work and check out developer ops in the client's Slack channel, please. I'm gonna ping you right now with it. Cool, man. All right. That's it. We'll be back. Dude, the year is almost over. What the hell? What is going on with this world right now? Yeah. That's it. We have maybe one or two more episodes this month, then we're going to take a little bit of a break. And yeah, that's it. You got anything else you want to say?
If you want to rewind, there's still a discount code that can be used on the magazine. Get it for $2 a month for new subscribers. Early bird's going to be ending for PHP Tech. Get your tickets now. That's all I have.
Cool. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's been fun. Bye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.